want to preface this morning with a reminder that I work quite a bit ahead on preparing the outlines for my sermons. Believe it or not, I'm already working on December and working with five other people to put together the Advent and Christmas season already. So this, that we're now on the first week of August, I actually worked on back in May. And as I was thinking about this, because I had gotten this all finished and put together and written out and put in my little outline form before I left to go to visit Darlene's mom for the weekend, and I heard about what was going on in El Paso, and I'm thinking, God, what does my sermon have to do with what's going on in this world? What are these words that you have led me to? How are they going to speak to my congregation? And I wanted to know a little bit more about what was going on in El Paso, so I did a quick Google search, and up came this website that told me that since January 1st, 249 people have been killed in senseless gun violence just this year. And that just seems so overwhelming. And I always love it when God gives little nudges to people, including myself. And God said to me, Lori, I have a message that you're going to deliver this Sunday. And my word, when spoken, never comes back void. So that means that there is someone here today, and it might just be one person in this entire room, that needs to hear the message that God has laid upon my heart for this morning. And again, I was writing this back in May in what I would consider for this church to be one of the dark times. It was a very tough time back in May to be the pastor of this church. Many of you don't know what was going on. But it was tough for me as an individual leading this congregation and as a leader of the church. For daily, we were receiving bills in the mail that had past due notices on them. Late fees, late charges. I then, in the beginning of May, started getting phone calls from our vendors wanting to know where our payments were because we were so far behind with March and April. It was hard trying to figure out what to say to these people and how to deal with it and how to juggle the pennies from here and the quarters from here to get this one paid this week so it might not be too late, and hopefully that next week's offering, and praying ahead of time over next week's offering that it'll be enough money to pay for this other bill that was due. And it was getting depressing. I know it was affecting me. I know it was affecting my own headspace, and it was affecting my ministry here at this church. And I felt that I was at my wit's end. Now, some of you might notice that if you come back to my office when I'm here, and I'm sitting at my desk and I'm deep in thought, I have a tendency to do this and run my fingers through my hair right here. Well, I think as of May, it started getting thinner because I was doing this so much. It feels a little thinner. It looks a little thinner when I'm looking in the mirror. I thought maybe that's just age. But the one thing I noticed is that I said I was at my wit's end. I am just like you. Yes, I have the title as your pastor. But there are times when things get tough that even I do this instead of this. And I realized I was trying to figure out the solution to our financial needs at this church by myself. Wasn't including God, wasn't including other people. I was looking for those earthly answers. I was so caught up of even looking at what I've lost in my pay from the pay cut that we took that all I could look at is what I wouldn't be able to pay in my home, instead of remembering all the times that no matter how bleak our circumstances was, God has never let Darlene and I down. We have never missed a mortgage payment. We have never missed a car payment. We have never gone hungry. God has always provided for us. And I needed to remember that. So my error will lie in looking at the earthly. And as any human, there are days that I'd still look at the earthly. I keep coming up with different ideas for fundraisers. Not all of them are good. I even have one on my desk that I'm going to present to the board at the next board meeting. But I believe God is in that one, because God and I have been talking about this fundraising for a while. So I believe that God is incorporating God's self into these plans. I know Bob works endlessly. Endlessly. I'm trying to get folks to buy the gift cards through the church, because every single gift card that we sell, there's a little bit of it that comes back to the church. I don't think Reverend Lawrence buys anything from this church without going through Amazon Smiles, so that a percentage of whatever we buy for the church, that gets added on to the check that comes back to the church. So we're making these efforts, and I'll be truthful with you, these efforts are having some small inroads to our debt. Yes, we still have one bill from 2018 that hasn't been processed. We still have bills that go all the way back to January of this year. But thankfully, we are up to date on all of our monthly reoccurring bills. You know, PPL, Capital Water, HIG, every utility company that you can think of, we are up to date. Now, granted, some months we might be a few days late, but none of them are behind. And we are completely up to date with the fellowship, both with our tithes and with our pension assessments. So I praise God for the inroads that we have made. And hopefully, we're all going to pray over this and remember this in our prayers. When Reverend Lawrence goes to Penn State, that he will sell the rest of our fans. We still got $300 of potential profit to make if he can get the rest of those fans sold. But there was something besides my plans that made a huge difference in this church. It wasn't my plans that made the difference. It was because of some of you. There are some of you who kept your eyes on God the entire time that we have been talking about our financial woes. You never took your eyes off of God. You continue to hear God calling you and leading you. For there were those of you who gave beyond your normal giving. You increased your normal giving. Now, I'm not saying someone went from $10 to $1,000. Someone went from $10 to $11. Someone went from $15 to $20. But they've been doing that every week now. And $5 doesn't sound like much. But when you add it four times a month and all those little pieces together, that has made a huge difference here. There are those who have now taken up the challenge that I gave, that when you miss a Sunday, when you come back, you bring what you missed with you also, or you give it to someone else to bring when you're not here. That has made a huge difference. And then we have a few folks, and I mean a handful of folks, that are going beyond their giving by giving an extra $10 or $20 each week to what we're calling the back bill fund, to pay those old bills off. All of these little things. It's not my plan. God has spoken to you, and you're doing what God has told you to do. And that is what has made a difference here in this church. You're the ones who kept your eyes on God. You're the ones who kept seeking things above, just as Paul was teaching the Colossians. And Paul's lessons weren't just for the Colossians, but for us also. God continues to remind us through the writings of Paul to put away our earthly desires. Now, that doesn't mean don't go to the grocery store and buy food anymore. That doesn't mean pay your bills every month. Earthly desires are the things that might take your eyes off of God. I had to put away my plans because my plans weren't doing anything. Now, I can imagine God up there going, Laura, you're planning to do what? You're going to do what? Lori, that's not really what I want you to do. So I had to put away my plans. I had to put away the earthly stuff that was taking my eyes off of God. And some of us still need to do that. You heard the words that Rich just read. And for those who wonder, this is not just my teaching. When I'm up here, I'm not giving you my teaching. I'm giving you the teachings of God and Christ. I'm teaching from the words that Rich read earlier that are from our scriptures. Jesus spoke about finances more than any other topic in all of his teachings except for God's love. Okay, so if Jesus is talking about it all the time, he must think it's pretty darn important to be reminding us and teaching us about finances. Seek what is above, not what is earthly. Jesus tells a story of a man who took his eyes off of God and only looked at the earthly. This man looked at all that he had. I could imagine him standing on his back porch or on the roof of his house and just gazing around, looking at everything that was his barns full over here, fields just overflowing with more crops and produce and his animals. This man was earthly rich. And as he's looking at everything he has, it occurs to him, I need more space to store my stuff. He was full of earthly plans. See, his thoughts weren't for the poor or the homeless or the hungry or the needy. His thoughts were on, how do I store more of my stuff? And he says to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll knock down my perfectly good barns and build bigger barns. I mean, he already had so much that he had to store it. He wasn't eating hand to mouth. He wasn't going out each afternoon and plucking some grain. He had so much that it could be stored. And he was accumulating so much more that he needed more places to store it. He could have probably supplied the entire community he had so much. This man was so busy looking at the earthly, he forgot to look up to God. He forgot that his blessings of all that he had came from God. He was so busy planning for the future that he didn't take care of his responsibilities today. Now I'm going to do a little commercial interruption. There is nothing wrong with planning for the future. In our world today, as I look around this room, all of us should probably be already planning for our retirement if we're not there yet. Darlene and I have our 401ks and our annuities that I've had since I was working 30 years ago in planning for our retirement. But when our planning, even for our retirement, leaves out God, then there's a problem. We forget our present responsibilities. And our present responsibilities are to care for the widows and orphans, caring for those in need, and walking humbly with God. Darlene and I have planned for the future with God in mind, for we have a provision in our will that there will be funds provided for this church in the future. No, you may not bump me off now to get it. It will be there at the right time. So we go back to this man who was building these barns for storage. He now had all the space he needed to put away all of his products, all of his crops, all of his stuff. I can imagine some in his community who were like-minded saying to him, "Yeah, go, guys, pile it all up." It's like that old saying, "The one with the most toys wins. I'm not sure what you win since you're dead." But he was piling it up. And I could imagine with each barn that got filled, his heart was closing a little bit more to the needs of his community. And Jesus' story concludes with only a twist that Jesus could do. You know, the expected would be able to be hearing from someone saying, "Great thinking on building a bigger barn. You've got everything taken care of. Good job." But that's not Jesus' reply in the story. Jesus says, "You fool. Tonight, your life is demanded of you." In other words, you can't take this stuff with you, buddy. You spent all this time taking care of the earthly that you forgot to look towards heaven. This man did not have any glory with God since he didn't care for those in need. And there wasn't any great earthly bank that will transfer funds by electronic transfer to God. So what does this story mean for us? Well, first, I want your prayers. I want your prayers that I, too, keep my eyes on God and the things above so that I can be the pastor that you need me to be. Prayers that I will comprehend the plans that God has for us in this church. And I think part of those plans is including the parish of St. Joseph here and using our building. Getting this building used as much as possible to fulfill the needs of our community. But I need to also understand the plans that God has for us, for our financial needs and for the future. I would like your prayers for mental reminders. I'm not in this alone. This is our church, not just my church. Yes, I'm your pastor, and you are my flock. But first and foremost, we're God's, together. There will come a time in which I'll retire, probably 7 years from now. Many of you will still be here. Many of you will still call this your home place of worship. And this place needs to be here for you. This place needs to be here for those who haven't found us yet. And there are many. If you were at Pride, there are still people out there saying, "Who is MCC? What's MCC? Are you the Mennonite Council?" No, no, we're not the Mennonite Council. There are people in our own LGBT community who do not know who we are. And it's up to us to let them know. We're almost 39 years old. God's not done with us. God's not done with us in celebrating in this place or in serving our community in this city and the greater area. This story means that all of us keep our eye on heaven, not on the earthly. I pray for you that God will lead you in how you might be able to help in our financial debt. But most importantly, don't take your eyes off the ministries that God has placed before us. The ministries to help the homeless. When I tell folks what this little church is doing, and we're considered a little church, folks. We've got 63 members. We're considered a little church. We might be a bigger little church in the eyes of MCC, but we're still a little church. Yet when I tell them of all the things that we do to help the homeless in this community, when I'm talking to another pastor, I tell them about our programs to provide clothes and food for those who are hungry and homeless. When I talk about how we reach out to others with the message of love for Christ through our music and in using the words if we need them, they're blown away. that a small church of 63 people can have such an impact on one community. And we need to keep having that impact on our community. In closing this morning, I ask you to look towards God, towards the heavenly. How is God calling you, and what is God calling you to do through this body of Christ? This is where you're calling your church home. What is God calling you to do here in this place? If you want to help clothe the homeless, contact Deb McLean. If you want to help feed folks who are hungry in downtown Harrisburg, contact Bev or Carol. Or if you don't know how to find either one of them, see me, and we'll get you connected up with them. We did a survey recently, and you'll be hearing more about the results soon as we continue to put together all the information. But I can tell you, MCC, God is calling us into ministry in this community. We don't need another church. We have a great facility right here. We have a place there. Multiple people can come and do what they need to do. So let's live our church verse. As we walk out the door each week, look up at that verse that we have put out there, because that is our church foundation. To do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Take that with you. I feel like I need to have it tattooed on my arm or something. But really what I need to do is have it memorized and tattooed on my brain, so wherever I go, those words are right there. Because I always get justice and kindness backwards. But let us live our church verse. So church, look heavenly. Look heavenly. Amen. Please rise as you're able as we join together in our hymn of response.